Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi, everyone. It is Thursday, and we have some big news after years of a very public relationship with Nikki Bella. John Cena just secretly got married to his new lady, Shay. We're told it happened on Monday in Tampa, but no other details at this time. And the no details is pretty much how he and Shay have handled their relationship the past year and a half. They made their red carpet debut a year ago, but you rarely see them out. He never posts on social. There's no gushy things happening all the time. On Twitter, it's private. Same with Instagram. So she's an engineer, has nothing to do with the spotlight. So it is different than when he was with Nikki. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we all watched Total Bellas, right? We all saw how this went down between Nikki and John and the struggle to them getting married and all the things. How do you think Nikki's feeling?
I think that Nikki is more than fine. Clearly, she has a newborn baby, right? And I feel like, obviously, we did watch everything that went on, but I feel like when a relationship is long-term and there is no progression, there's no engagement, or there finally is an engagement after years and years of discussions and pulling and trying to get someone to do something, it never, ever, ever works out. I feel like relationships that are meant to be are effortless, they flow into one another, and then finally, it becomes too much tension. They both realize it's too much work. It's not really what they both want. They split up, and exactly what's happening happens. They move on very quickly with other people because they know exactly what they don't want. Mm-hmm. They find their person. They have a baby in 5 minutes, and they get married. That's, hello, I did this. It's always like that. That's what happens.
You're like, this was the story of my life.
That's what I did. Long-term relationship, and 5 minutes later, I'm like, well, here we go, having a baby. Like, you spend a lot of time with somebody, you always know if something's not 100% right.
Yeah, right. But Morgan, let me ask you this question and be honest.
Oh. Okay.
You are moved on. You are happy. You're having that baby.
Yes.
You know, a year and a half goes by and you find out your ex-husband is now moved on. He's married and maybe having a baby. Wouldn't you feel a little bit of relief that things worked out for him?
Oh, I would definitely be happy for him. I definitely, no, 100%. But you always, there's always, I thought you were going to ask me a different question. There's always that tinge of sting that's like, okay, well, it's weird that we couldn't make it work. But then eventually you just, doesn't matter. Does not matter.
But I think there's like this like sigh of relief. But I also think when your partner closes the door and closes the chapter, it's almost like, who? I don't have to worry because there's that little percentage of you that always thinks, and it's small, and it happens at rare times where you're like, what if? Mm-hmm. Now that what if doesn't exist because that person is married and has moved on, and now you can completely close that chapter.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's true. I think that's true. And that's probably, I think like Nikki is so happy and, you know, and really loving her life right now. But when you spend that much time, I don't care who you are, you are still like, I wonder, you have your opinion about the new relationship. You may not voice it. You may totally keep it to yourself. It may just float around in your head. But you always have an opinion. Like, either it's like, I feel sorry for that girl, or it's, I wonder why he chose her, or, we'll see how that goes. But there's like a thought that crosses your mind.
Yeah, but you know what I think it is, to be completely honest? Think about when you were in college and you were graduating college and you were dating a dude, and everybody, after you hit 2-year mark, everybody's like, when are you gonna get married? When are you gonna get married? When are you gonna have kids? And for a man, you get confused where you don't know if these are your thoughts that you want to marry this person or people have put this in your head. Mm. Now multiply that times 20 million people.
Right.
Everybody was pressuring them. Yes, it's nonstop. So you never know if you're making decisions about your relationship based on yourself or based on what other people are saying.
Yeah, but ultimately, I think that the ultimate deal breaker between John and Nikki, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was because he didn't want to have kids, and she did.
I think she always went into that relationship knowing what she wanted. She always wanted to get married. She always wanted to have kids, and he really was not on that page. It took so much fighting on her end to finally get to a place where he was proposing. Like, she doesn't deserve that. She deserves for somebody to be like, all right, let's do this right away. I have no doubts about this. And inevitably, it just ended because it just was too much effort on both of their ends. It just, that's not how relationships are supposed to work.
But you know right now, if they announce that they are having a baby, it would be WWE ready to rumble.
But 2.0. She's gonna have thoughts. Will she voice him? I doubt it.
Because I think she would.
If they went that far, she's an open book.
By the way,
Bella's, we'd see it. Okay,
they're gonna have a baby. By the way, just so we're clear.
What?
He's pregnant.
100% they're going to have a baby.
Oh,
it's 8:05 on October 15th. I promise you they will have a baby.
Justin,
they're having a baby.
All you do is drink margaritas and have sex. They're pregnant.
You're dating somebody.
Or not have margaritas.
You've said millions of times you want kids. You're dating somebody who tells you, I don't think I'm ever going to want kids, and I don't think you're going to be able to change my mind about that. What do you do? Do you stay in that relationship or no?
Well, it's so funny. I just talked to Hoda on Just a Sip. And we talked about Joel Schriftman, who is her boyfriend, her fiance now, who had children already who were older in their 20s. And when Hoda brought up that she wanted to have children, he was accepting. And she said, if that person truly loves you, they would go on that journey with you and they would see your dreams come true. So I'm taking Hoda's advice.
Yeah,
100%.
If you love me, you're going to take these four kids that I got from Africa.
That's true. All right. Yeah. Moving on, it was a night of sexy stars and powerful performances at the 2020 Billboard Music Awards. Despite not having a live audience, everyone still totally brought it. Here are some favorite moments of the night.
Bring me a higher love.
There's power in who you are. There's power in your voice. Use your power, use your voice, and refuse to be suppressed.
We will never break. We will never break.
Everybody knows, almost doesn't count.
Thank you to the fans. Thank you for believing in me and caring about me still. I don't know why you do.
Run away, but we run in a circle.
Love you. Good night.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, he looks like Prince. My God, that outfit. I love it.
I loved all the looks. They all look so good. Okay, so let's talk about it. Let's talk about the fashion.
Yeah.
Kelly Clarkson hosted the show and crushed it. She hit the stage in 6 different looks. Plus, she had another look for the red carpet. Take a look at all of these. Do you guys have a favorite? What do you think?
I was down for all the looks except that gold ruching in the front. I'm not a fan of that front ruching, but I thought she looked amazing every other time she hit it out the park.
I like the black with the ruffles that we just showed. That one would be my favorite. It seemed very fashion forward.
Right. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. She looks good. It's a lot to change that many times. It's hard to get every look right.
It is a lot to change. It's a lot for me to get dressed in the morning. So
Chris, I have sweatpants on, and it was a lot for me this morning, okay? It was a lot.
All right. Next up, we have Nicole Richie, Billie Eilish, and Lizzo. Nicole wore a dramatic sheer floral dress. Billie matched her mask with her outfit, and Lizzo definitely made a statement in her vote dress.
I mean, Nicole Richie, I mean, I don't know what the last show award show we talked about when she was in the neon green, but this woman is just like such a little fashionista. I'm so always so, well, if I could speak, I enjoy what she's going to wear a lot. I think she looks great. And I love Lizzo's Vogue dress. And Billie Eilish looks like Billie Eilish. Like, what do we expect from Billie Eilish? She's 100%. Always like that.
Nicole, I will say,
looks like she just came off the runway.
Oh, 100%. But there's so many things out there because no one is using any of the pieces that have been out the last two seasons because no one has anywhere to go. So if you're Heidi Klum, you shouldn't have a bad dress this year.
Well, like, Heidi Klum, and she's like, got events.
You got to have some good dresses.
All right, check out Lil Nas X, Cher, Brandy. We had Cher showing some leg. I love seeing Brandy perform on stage. That was cool.
I mean, Cher, are we kidding? The icon. I mean, Lil Nas X looks so much like Prince there, right? The outfit is like so Prince inspired. No, I love it. Love it.
I will say, off the fashion for a minute, I have to like say something because I feel really bad. These shows get better and better every single time. Mm-hmm. And I almost feel like they take what the other show did wrong and kind of sort of improve it and make it better.
Yeah.
But if you were a celebrity and you won an award in this time, would it feel the same? If you won it from home?
I feel like yes. I feel like we've gotten so accustomed to being home. Like, this is just our sort of new normal. Like, I don't feel like people are in the position right now where they keep waiting for life to resume. Like, you want to go to dinner, you have to wear a mask. It's just like there's just new rules to life. I mean, it's not as, you know, exciting, but I kind of like it in a weird way.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I see that point, but I don't know. I don't think it'd feel the same because there's no applause, there's no party afterwards, there's no recognition of people coming up to you and being like, this was your night. Amazing. I mean, these are stars that love positive feedback, right?
100%.
They love the fame. They love the attention. That's part of the reason why they're so good at what they do. And I think a lot, not having that huge celebration does make it feel different.
No, it's like, you know, like when you get engaged, you know, you have the bridal party, you have this, you
have everybody asking
you to see my ring. There's a shower, there's all these things that go into it. And when you're like nominated for an Oscar, for say, you go to a luncheon, you get invited to all the hottest parties, you get to go to the CAA party, you get to go there. And it's like, you don't even get that moment. Will you be able to get it the following year? Like, it just is.
It's different.
I wouldn't want to win an Oscar this year or a Billboard Music Award.
Well, you wouldn't not
want to
win it.
Yeah,
I would be like, Hold off.
No. Because you may not get that chance again. You want to win it.
Thank you.
I just feel for the winners because it doesn't feel like they're getting the same enjoyment
out of it. It's not as vibrant, maybe.
Well, guess what? Come 2021, I'm going to need two seats at the Oscars. One for me and one for my Oscar. Because she's coming with me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Daily Pop. Now, you may have noticed we all have a little bit of purple on us because today is Spirit Day. Millions of people around the world are wearing purple or going purple online to show support for LGBTQ youth and to take a stand against bullying. All right. It's time for Pop of Love. Okay, Selling Sunset star Amanda Smith says bad timing killed her relationship with Taye Diggs. Amanda tells the Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast she was the first person Taye dated after his divorce from Idina Menzel. Amanda says if you're the first relationship someone has fresh out of a divorce, it's probably never going to work. We're better friends. Can rebound relationships ever turn serious?
Only if you've dated before. And honey, I'm telling you right now, I have been in this predicament twice. If a man tells you he is fresh out of a divorce and you're at a restaurant, you better get your ass right up, get in that Uber X and take that pasta to go because it never works.
I was just going to say eat the food and then go.
Take it to go.
I've done this too and I had bad luck as well. It did not work well for me either. Obviously, Morgan, it worked really well for you, but it's just different with your story because Jordan
because
and
they sniffed each other
so
before. They had sniffed each other before.
I feel like yours counts.
Yeah, that's it's true though. That's the thing. It was Agreed. It worked out.
I mean, if you are going to date somebody after a divorce, it's better to be the second one or like the third one, and then it's more likely to turn long term because then they're more ready. It's just like I feel like whenever they come out of a divorce, they're looking for something that's just so different. It depends on how the divorce went down, but either so different than their ex, or they're looking for their ex replacement. You know, it's like one or the other, but it means that they're not really looking for the right person.
If you're just coming out of a divorce, unless that relationship has been over for a long, long, long time, you don't have the emotional capacity to take somebody on. It's for just sure. too difficult. Yeah. You really, you can't. You go, you reacclimate to dating and sleeping with someone new, and then you break up, and then eventually you find your way again.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's our advice for today, you guys. Mm-hmm. All right. Another bachelorette couple bites the dust. Ashley Aubert and J.P. Rosenboom. Baum have been calling it quits after 8 years of marriage. They both took to Instagram to share their breakup news and revealed they've been separated for months. The couple said it ultimately came down to the fact that they're just very different people. And JP added that they didn't see eye to eye on a lot of life fundamentals. Are you surprised by this since they were together for so long?
Oh, God, this is a bummer. This, like, feels sad, and I don't even really know them. But I just feel like, look, a relationship is really hard. There's a lot of work that goes into it. 8 years is a successful relationship in my book. I just think eventually sometimes people try their hardest to make something work, and it just becomes too difficult, and they decided, as adults, look, we have kids. We feel like it's better to create separate lives for them, and this is kind of the path we're going down. But it's always a bummer. It's always just upsetting, you know? It's like, God, that sucks for them.
And I have to say, you know, being married for 4 years, but been with Shannon for like 12 years. I mean, I think that there's these life fundamentals, because some people might say, well, wouldn't you figure that in the beginning? And not necessarily. There's new things that get thrown at you in life that, like, Shannon and I have experienced, you know, whatever. Pandemics happen. Children happen. You know, job losses happen. Things happen, or people get inspired to want to change their path, their careers. You know, life crises happen. And these things, you know, you are now face to face to learn about how each of you would approach the situation. And Shannon and I have even had, like, you know, just even whether we should send Chase to preschool right now or not. You know, it's like, what's more important, health or education? Education or health? You know, it's that battle right now we're still trying to decide as parents, and, like, we kind of have different views on, too, that we're still trying. Still 100%. Don't even know exactly what we're going to do. Yep. So it's like some of these life fundamentals, as they mentioned, I'm not surprised would come up later in a marriage. They come up throughout your marriage.
100%. Yeah. Look, the biggest issue I find that my friends have whenever they're going through something with their partner is that they don't realize that people evolve, people change. Mm-hmm. If your husband is not wearing the same clothes that he wore 8 years ago and the same hairstyle, if he can change those things, he can change things in here and in here. Mm-hmm. And I think what is important is, after 8 years, you have to look at a relationship, and I'm not saying not to weather a storm, because there's a cloud or two, and you can figure it out.
Absolutely.
But if you get to a point in your relationship and you can't see yourself moving on with that person, you have to be honest with them, and you have to get out of a marriage, because the last thing you want to do is sit in a marriage for another 20 years and be miserable, because then you'll figure out, and you'll be afraid that you can't get out of it because you've reached a point where it's too late. Mm-hmm. These people are smart. They have figured this out. I don't think this was an overnight situation.
No.
Yeah. But good for them for choosing to be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. They said they've been separated for months. This was definitely thought out for a long time. And I do believe that they tried their hardest. And it's just unfortunately not the path for them anymore.
So sad. That's always so hard. Okay. Up next is Tyra Banks getting fired from Dancing with the Stars. Oh my gosh, the rumors are circling. We're finding out what she's really feeling about her future on the show next.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS, or play online via Facebook games.
Let me tell you firsthand, hosting live TV isn't always easy. We face struggles every day. Well, Tyra Banks is getting a lot of criticism over her performance on her first season of Dancing with the Stars. There are reports that she is fighting to save her job, and some fans are calling for her to be fired after she's had a few flubs and awkward moments.
It's a simple thing that I call the smize. Got it.
Can we see it? Can you show us the shoe? Okay, let's get scores. There's actually been an error. Please have Monica come back. This is live TV. I was reading my cards, but my cards were lost.
I mean, I really don't think it's that bad. I mean, we've had way worse flubs over here. Do you think she's really worried about her job?
First of all, let me be the first to tell everybody, when people try to criticize me for something that I say on live TV or if I stutter, I'm always like, well, you come and try it, okay? You come and sit here and try to do this.
Yeah.
I don't think that Dancing with the Stars is mad about this bad press. People are still watching the show. Mm-hmm. They're still the number one show on Mondays, beating out MLB.
And it's also, we know Tyra, right? Like, Tyra's very famous. She's been hosting. She was on Next Top Model for so many years. I mean, we know her. It's you when you get to know a host or you get to know a personality on television, you're like, okay, well, that's just Tyra. She's just being silly. Like, the smize thing doesn't make me uncomfortable because it's Tyra. That's what Tyra does.
It made me uncomfortable. I was like, oh, God. Oh, God. I was like, I get it. We know you, and she's so fierce. And again, America's Next Top Model smize every single day. But that transition and crossover, I was cringing. But I will say, in Tyra's defense, I've never watched an episode of Dancing with the Stars until this season. I've never, ever seen an episode. So I don't think she's doing a terrible job. I think it is really difficult to host live television. But I think also, that is such a, it's not a serious show, it's a really fun show, but you do need somebody polished in that seat. It's not like us where we can like mess up four words and make it up. You know what I mean? Like, and she's not doing a bad job. I just could do without the smizing and some of the ad libs that make
me
like
jam.
Hide.
The producers thinking that it was fun.
Yeah, you know? It wasn't fun. Don't do it again.
Although I think is an executive producer now.
She's an executive producer now. The problem is too, also, is that everyone thinks that they can host live TV. Like, Tyra killed it in America's Next Top Model. Yes, oh my God, please. There are so many shows where you see an actress or a singer then become a host, and then you're like, wait, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This is not your lane. I think a lot of times when you throw an actress or someone like Tyra Banks a bag, they go for the bag, they take the money, and they think, oh, I can do this. You really have to put in the time and the work in order to host a live TV show.
And we need to allow her room to grow to get better as well. But just so far, there's been some cringe work.
And let's be real, you know, how many times have you guys watched a show? I'm not talking about Dancing with the Stars. I'm talking about, you know, a variety of shows that are hosted, and you think this host is just awful. Awful, awful, awful. She's gonna go, he's gonna go, and they never go.
Oh my God.
They never go.
Look, Steve Harvey had one job for that Miss Universe pageant.
Leave Steve Harvey alone.
He had one job.
And they brought him back the next year.
Because it made buzz, because people were talking about it. People are talking about Tyra Banks right now. I have a feeling that Tyra's like, yes, put all this out. Go right ahead.
It.
Clip it.
Have them hate it.
Have them hate
it.
Me.
Yeah.
It hasn't been that bad either.
No, not that bad. The smize thing, I don't know. That's funny. Okay, so there's a new movie in the works, and it is packed with your favorite stars. Ready for this? It's a Netflix film called Don't Look Up. Stars like, I don't know, Leonardo DiCaprio, Meryl Streep, Jennifer Lawrence, Ariana Grande, Cate Blanchett, Jonah Hill, Timothée Chalamet, Matthew Perry. I mean, the list goes on, and we don't know much about the movie concept, except that it centers on two low-level astronomers who must go on a giant media tour to warn mankind of an approaching comet that's going to destroy planet Earth.
Mm.
Okay. So whenever a movie comes out and they have this much star power, does it make you excited or do you think it's going to be a mess?
What's scaring me is that Meryl is, like, selling out a little bit.
Don't say that.
That's blasphemy.
I'm not into like.
You can't say that about Meryl.
No, I'm not into like the Valentine's Day movies.
Okay, so Valentine's Day was a terrible.
Or like New Year's Eve movie. Like, I'm just not into those movies where they put a bunch of stars in, and because they can't come up with the funding to pay them their full rates, they put them in for like a millisecond, and then they put them on the billboard. Yeah. And it's, for me, it feels like a gimmick. And it's the first time that I think Netflix has tried to do this, and I'm not feeling it.
See, okay, Valentine's Day, did not love that movie, but because of the star power, because of the people that were in it, were so many of my favorite actors and actresses, I had to watch it.
Exactly.
And
it's disappointing.
That's what's gonna happen with Netflix, though. Ooh. You have to watch it. I mean, people don't, like, there's so much content now. I don't know if people still rewatch movies as much as they used to, like, over and over and over. But people will go and see it with these names.
I just think it's a...
It is definitely gimmicky, but people are still going to watch it. It's definitely going to be a little bit of a mess. But, like, I liked He's Not That Into You. That had a lot of stars in it, and that movie was cute. Valentine's Day, I can't even remember who was in that movie.
Exactly.
But I also disagree. I disagree with you, Chris. There is not so much content. I feel like I'm looking every day for something, and I can't find anything to watch. I've, like, watched everything.
That's because your Wi-Fi didn't work, okay?
No.
You're looking because your Wi-Fi is not working.
That was one day. And finally, last night, I did watch... Billionaires of India on Netflix, or Bad Boys of Billionaires. It was good, so you should watch
Desperado. That's what I call Desperado.
It was delicious.
Stick around. Tarek El Moussa is talking wedding planning and working with his ex, Christina. The Flipper Flop star is going to be joining us live by the pond. It's our first outside interview. Oh, I'm so excited after the break.
Exciting.
Where's the backyard? How do we get there?
Is there a door out the kitchen? I don't like that you have to go from the side of the house to get to the back.
What? No! What the heck?
What is this?
Oh my God, why is it so low?
Oh my gosh. Has a bathroom back here?
What? It's fancy.
It's the nicest part of the house.
Welcome back to Daily Pop. I'm here by the Universal City Pond with Flipper Flop star Tarek El Moussa.
Hi.
You are our first outside live interview. I hope you feel extremely special. Thank you for being here. We're very far apart, but
we are 8 feet apart.
But we're here. Okay, you've been through a lot through this pandemic. Okay, let's see. You've been renovating houses. Let's see. What else happened? Oh, you got engaged. Yeah. How are you doing?
Doing great. So Heather and I got engaged about 2 months ago. Catalina Island, the episode of Flipping 101 where I asked her to marry me actually aired last week.
Aww.
So super excited about that. We're currently planning a wedding. I can't believe I'm saying that. And I'm just ready to spend the rest of my life with her.
Okay, we're going to get to the wedding planning in just a little bit. But first, we got to get your take on the news. We heard about your ex, Christina, unfortunately splitting from her husband. Were you a part of the process about, like, talking to the kids with that? Do you guys do that together, or is that kind of her battle?
It wasn't together. I did have a talk with the kids and just explained to them that life's a series of ups and downs.
Yep.
And some days are harder than others, but at the end of the day, we love you. We're here for you. We support you. So, you know, it is a difficult time for them, so we're doing everything we can to be positive.
I mean, just seeing how well you guys work together, I mean, you guys have really got this co-parenting thing down. I mean, is there ever any kind of struggles whenever you're working side by side with your ex like that, or have you guys pretty much cleared the slate at this point?
You know, let's just be honest. Like, years ago, there were a lot of struggles.
Yeah.
Like, there were so many struggles. But, you know, today, it's almost 5 years later. She was remarried. She has a baby. She's been divorced. I'm engaged. So, it's, you know, we get along fine. We're coworkers at this point. You know, we go to work, we do our job, and that's it. And when it comes to the kids, like, she's a great mom, and I feel like I'm a great dad. So, mm-hmm. All the decisions we make are in their best interests.
I love it. Well, you have the new season of Flipper Flop coming back. Was this filmed before or during the pandemic?
I'm still filming Flipper Flop as we speak. Like, I filmed it yesterday, I think. So
wait. There has to be so many more challenges that you're feeling.
There have been so many challenges, but typically we'll film a season and then it airs. But because of COVID, we kind of ran out of time, so we're scrambling to finish episodes so they can make the air in a few weeks.
Oh my God, you're so busy right now. Okay, so speaking of all that, let's talk about your wedding planning situation now. Okay, how far along are you? What's the date? What's the location? Where is our invitation?
All right, the nitty gritty. Okay, so we finally chose a wedding planner.
Yay!
So she's been amazing, and we're down to either California or Mexico.
Okay.
So two locations, and we're thinking either May or October.
May or October. Okay, are you going to allow cameras? I mean, you guys are both on reality shows.
Like, we filmed the proposal, and it was spectacular, and it was a special moment. When it comes to the wedding, right now, we're leaning towards not filming it just because we don't want any distractions, but... who knows? I don't know.
How has she been doing? Is she just loving, like, the Selling Sunset? And, I mean, it's been such a huge reaction to that show. Did you have any advice for her as she started to become, like, more and more famous? You're like, oh, here it comes, honey.
Oh, absolutely. So the first time I saw Selling Sunset, I told her, this show is going to be a huge hit. She's like, well, how do you know? I said, well, I've been in TV for, like, 900 years, and it's a great show. But, yeah, it's a great show. It's fun to watch. The ratings are, like, through the roof,
yeah.
And her career is just going, like, this and I just love being there supporting her and helping her, and obviously I have a lot of experience, so we have a lot of fun working together.
Is there a Life with You Two reality show in the future?
I would have to say probably yes. I think that's something we'd really like to do. We're best friends. We're together all the time. I'm in real estate, construction, yeah. Design. She's in real estate, so I feel like it's the perfect combination.
Now, how about your guys' design tastes? Are they same, similar? Like, do you agree more with her than you do Christina?
I actually do, but I almost feel like Heather spends more money than Christina, which I didn't think was possible, you know, because we're remodeling our own house right now.
Geez.
You know, normally it's like, okay, $300 light. No, this light is $13,000. I said, well, I don't want to buy a $13,000 light.
Well, I mean, you've seen the homes on Selling Sunset.
I have. So we're bringing Selling Sunset to Newport Beach right now, and it's getting expensive, but it's going to be beautiful.
I love it. Okay, so this is our first interview by the pond. Do you have any renovation tips that we need to do to up the outdoor patio here?
Water slide. Just a bunch of water slides, like barbecue area.
That's exactly what we need. Tark, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for
being our first live guest outside. We love this. All right, Flip or Flop premieres tonight on HGTV. We will be right back.
When I wrapped Cinderella, they were talking about, you know, what does it mean for you to be a Latin Cinderella? And I said your name in that interview, Jen. I was like, if it weren't for people like you, I wouldn't be able to do that. Like you, you know, trailblazing in movies and being like a musician that did both and did all of it. Like that's what made that possible for me. And actually, we sing one of your songs in the movie. I shouldn't have said that, but whatever. I got excited. And I did. I'm not saying which one. I'll tell you after.
Don't tell me after. I want to see it. I want to see it for the first time and be, like, blown away.
Aw, that's so cute. That was Camila Cabello fangirling over Jennifer Lopez on Apple Music's Somos Radio.
She was like, did you get that cleared? Did you get that paperwork done?
Where's my check? Uh-huh. Royalties check here. Okay. And check out J-Lo's sexy new cover on Billboard's Latin Power Players issue. Wow.
This woman. How?
Unbelievable.
So done with her.
So hot. Ugh. Okay, we were like loss of words. Today is the last day of Hispanic Heritage Month, so we're celebrating with one of our other favorite Latinas. Justina Machado is killing it on Dancing with the Stars and One Day at a Time, and she told Liliana the secret to how Latinos can change the game in Hollywood.
Happy that we finally get a chance to meet. I have been such a fan of yours. Let's first talk about Dancing with the Stars. You are crushing right now. What is your favorite part about being on the show?
I think the Mondays, when it all comes together and you get those fabulous costumes and the glam and, you know, the excitement, you know, it makes it all worthwhile. It makes the rehearsal period worthwhile on that Monday to come out and just do it.
This family needs boundaries. Boundaries are for white people.
We got to talk about your other network show on Mondays. And I'm so proud to say that One Day at a Time is making its network debut on CBS.
We're strong women who don't need a partner to define us. Anyway, I have a date.
What does that mean to you, being a part of the show from the beginning and seeing it be like the little show that could?
It's such an incredible, important show. When we made it, we knew what it was. You know, when we made it, we didn't make it about, it wasn't a show about topics. It was really a show that happens to us, Latinos, on a daily basis. And the fact that it resonated with all of these people, it's incredible. We are so underrepresented, Latinos, in the media. And the fact that we are the only Latinx show on a network right now is a little crazy. It's 2020.
Do you feel like this is why it's so important that we're not just represented in front of the camera, but that we are represented in a writer's room, in at executive levels at these networks and at these studios?
Until we have representation on both sides, we will not get that authenticity.
What does Hispanic Heritage Month mean to you?
It's important that we're recognized. It's important that if you see people that you never knew were Latino and you're like, wow, that person did this. It's important to be seen. But to me, every day is Hispanic Heritage. To me, every single day. I don't know anything else but being this. I wouldn't want to be anything else.
You can see Justina Mondays on ABC's Dancing with the Stars and on CBS's One Day at a Time. Okay, we are just a few weeks away from the People's Choice Awards. The hottest awards show of the year airs right here on E! On November 15th. So go to E! Online right now to cast your votes. And Xfinity customers, you can vote for the show of 2020 right from your TV. Just say, vote for People's Choice Awards into your voice remote anytime to vote.
Wow.
All right. After the break, we have celebrity chef Aaron Sanchez is going to show us how to put a twist on our favorite Mexican dishes. Get ready to become hungry. We'll be right back. There's no better way to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month than with food, okay? Chef Aaron Sanchez has the perfect spread of Latin dishes for your next socially distant hangout. They look delicious.
Hola.
One of the things that I just absolutely love is the idea of nachos, right? It's great for a group, but right now, the way that things are, you kind of want to take that idea and make them individual. And the way that you sort of assemble them is very simple. So start with a beautiful tortilla chip or totopo. We're going to start with a base of beautiful chorizo. It's redolent with all those beautiful spices, the canela, the dried chiles. And then to that, we're going to add a little puree of refried beans, right? Kind of snuggled up right next to the chorizo, right? And then to that, I'm gonna start rolling with this beautiful cacique queso blanco dip. I've gone ahead and heated this up very simply in the microwave. And then I'm gonna put a nice dollop of that right on top. That's kind of gonna bring all those wonderful flavors together, the chorizo, the beans, okay? Nice little dollop of that. I'm gonna place this right here on my plate. And then the garnishes are just as important as the base, right? So what we're gonna go ahead and do is put a little jalapeno, beautiful with the seeds and all. I'll finish with some cilantro for freshness and color. And then what really makes this next level is the queso fresco, right? The ranchero queso fresco. So there you have it, these beautiful nachos. So what we have here is a beautiful pork ragu that's served over these little cheesy toast points, chorizo, cooked down carrots and tomatoes, and wonderful sort of aromatic spices, and then finished with a beautiful amount of queso fresco. We're talking about a Mexican caprese salad, or taking that inspiration from Italy and using these beautiful heirloom tomatoes. I kind of wedged them in there with some fresh avocado, beautiful cilantro, some good olive oil, and then sort of just finished it with that beautiful ranchero queso fresco. I think it's important to remember when you're cooking Mexican food at home, make sure that follow the traditional recipes and use great authentic ingredients. For instance, not all Mexican food has to be spicy. That's not necessarily the case. And not all Mexican food has to have cumin, okay? Muchísimas gracias. Thank you so much for having me.
Go to Instagram. It's called eDailyPop for all the recipes. Those look yummy. Mm-hmm. Okay,
delicious.
Up next, Dexter is coming back to television, but not everyone's very happy about it. We're discussing why when we come back. It almost seems like TV shows are never really over anymore. Showtime just announced it's reviving Dexter. Michael C. Hall will reprise his role as the serial killer who, spoiler alert, got away in the end and became a lumberjack. That was the season finale.
Isn't that just Dateline, like every week?
7 years ago. Fan reaction to the finale was not fantastic. So why is this necessary? Do you think sometimes people want a redo?
Ooh, not the women of Charmed. <That's for sure. laughs>
I guess. I didn't watch Dexter a whole lot, but I feel like it's great he's coming back. Why not?
I loved it. I think there's like enough time that went past like the finale to now. It's when they start rushing shows to come back.
Yeah.
Like Charmed, yes, I love the new one. Yes, it's great. But like, I'm still watching the reruns. Like, I'm Gucci.
They're still airing.
You know what I mean?
Well, should other shows that had controversial endings like Game of Thrones or How I Met Your Mother, should they do this idea?
Oh, no. All we just ended back, Game of Thrones.
All we need back is Xenon Girl of the 21st century, okay?
Disney,
if you can work with that, BET, if you can get me 227 back, I would be fine with that.
Wow.
I need there to be so much time that went by that the kids on that show are now in Clairol commercials trying to dye their hairs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like it's the next step in the series, not trying to redo the ending again.
Yes.
Which I assume that's what Dexter will be doing. I don't know. What's a show that you would like to come back, maybe even just as a limited series?
Sex in the City.
Oh, yes.
But let me tell you why.
Don't say no.
I need Sex in the City with a whole different cast, with a whole different group of women. Maybe throw me a black lady in there so she can get Zazzy in Brooklyn. And I want to see what it's like for women of that age to date in New York with technology and with everything going on.
I agree.
That's a good idea. Yeah, especially because now we are those women's ages. Well, younger than they were older, but still around the same.
and I don't need Kim Cattrall to come back. I just need Sarah Jessica Parker to sign on to executive produce this. It could honestly.
She's got to have a role in there somehow, somewhere.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little something.
No,
like, yeah, she's one of their cousins or something.
No. They can live in her old apartment. Like, one of the girls can live in her old apartment and find
her
laptop.
Apartment's expensive, okay? Girls, like, you know, that's my favorite part about that show.
Right, she made a lot as a writer. I was very impressed. Okay, so let's move on to this story. Is it possible to sexualize macaroni and cheese? Kraft's Send Nudes campaign was a way to send macaroni and cheese to loved ones, but they had to shut it down after people freaked out on social media. We should point out that nudes in this case is spelled N-O-O-D-S. The company says it was just meant to make people smile, but critics thought it was a bad message to children. What do you guys think?
I think the advertising firm is getting a bonus right now because they delivered on what they said they were going to do. Companies do this for shock value. Companies do this so shows like us will pick up this story. This is exactly what they wanted. We are talking about Kraft macaroni and cheese on E! On a daytime talk show, and they didn't even have to pay for the advertising dollars.
Wow. Oh gosh, now all of our guys in sales are like, we are gonna have to talk about this. I get it. I get the criticism. I mean, Kraft mac and cheese, who eats that? Kids, for the most part. Of course, you know, sometimes every once in a while we'll take a couple bites, you know, here and there, but it's mostly marketed toward children to feed your children. It's easy. Kids like it. So when you say send nudes and it's a kid food, it's, you're asking for controversy.
Yeah, it's a little inappropriate. But I don't know. Yeah, too far, I think.
But when was the last time Chase went to the supermarket and bought nudes?
Right.
Like, no
kid. But he knows the box.
He knows the box, but if he reads the box and says send nudes, he's not going to know what it means.
Yeah, but he's young, but like, who else, you know, does send nudes? I mean, kids, when you're in high school, didn't you make your own macaroni and cheese? Mom would make me make my own. She's like, you want macaroni and cheese? Figure it out. It's a pot of water and a dump some stuff in there.
We didn't really have macaroni and cheese in my house. We weren't that house.
Okay. Well,
it's crackers and milk.
We had a lot of it growing up.
I was broke.
All right. We have to go, but make sure you come back tomorrow because DJ Khaled will be here, and we're celebrating 10 years of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills with some amazing throwbacks. Check out Nightly Pop tonight at 11:30, and join us for Daily Pop every weekday at 11 a.m. right here on E! Set your DVRs. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Send nudes.
Send nudes.
Gary said that to me the other day.